You're with Sounds Good, our midday music and community conversation program. I'm Austin Carter, joined in the studio by Kate Lochte and by members of the cast of The Bald Soprano.
Yeah, we are very fortunate that Shirley T. Johnson has sent you as emissaries to talk about the Bald Soprano, an absurdist theater piece being performed for audiences at Kinlake State Resort Park. You're in your fifth weekend. You've got another weekend to go, but we want to make sure that our listeners know about The Bald Soprano with Twilight Theater on stage at Kinlake. Who would like to begin addressing this play and its playwright? Jump right in. Kirsten.
Okay, well, the play was written by Eugene Ionesco, and he wrote this piece when he was learning how to speak and write English, and it has a nonlinear plot. It doesn't really follow, it doesn't really stay in the world of reality so much as just explore language and explore different ideas. And it's funny, it's a comedy, so that's really cool. Anyone else want to jump in?
Let me just say that Kirsten is Kirsten Kellersberger of Western Kentucky University, who's jumping in and will introduce yourself.
I'm Lane French. I'm from Western also. It was my first semester this past semester, and I'm enjoying it so far. And I'm originally from Harrisburg, like Kirsten. So,
I'm Taylor Davis. I go to Murray State University, and one thing that we've definitely learned as a cast and as a company this summer about Eugene Ionesco and absurdist theater is that it is exactly that. It is absurd, and it was a struggle for us as a group to find that message and find that unity and find how this show made sense to us and how we could convey that to the audience. But now that we've hit our fifth week of shows, this is our fifth weekend, it's definitely come together, and I think we've definitely been able to convey that to our audiences and what we want them to take from the show.
Ebi, tell me a little bit about the character that's not a person, the clock.
Okay. Hi, I'm Ebi McKinney. I'm from Western Kentucky University. I'll be a senior. And the clock is, I think, the most important character in this show because the clock really controls everything the other characters are doing and really sets and establishes every different scene in the show, and it also gives the audiences a break to kind of catch their breath and take in what they've seen and reset for the next funny thing that's happening. So it really allows the hijinks that happen in the show to really happen and let the audiences understand it.
Now, you all are being directed by Charles Edward Hall of Radio City Music Hall fame, Murray State University alum. What has he impressed upon you in doing this show?
I know for myself as an actor, I was having some struggles towards the beginning of the rehearsal process, and I had a day where I was really getting frustrated with, you know, my character development, and Charles graciously stayed with me after the rehearsal that day and spoke to me and really worked an entire scene with me with a different perspective. And it really allowed me to see the character for what she really is. And so that was super helpful. And I know he's done that for all of us, just mm-hmm. really like stopped and questioned us and allowed us to really like delve into the character development.
Now, we do have a scene from The Bald Soprano. Set it up for us.
All right, so this show starts off with a middle-class American interior with an American armchair and an American evening, and Mr. and Mrs. Smith are sitting in their living room when the clock strikes as many times as it likes. Right.
It says here that Bobby Watson died.
Oh, my God, the poor man. When did he die?
Why do you pretend to be so astonished? You know very well he's been dead these past 2 years. Surely you remember we attended his funeral a year and a half ago.
Oh, yes, of course. I remembered it. I remembered it right away, but I don't understand why you yourself were so surprised to see it on Facebook.
I didn't see it on Facebook. I remember it through an association of ideas.
What a pity. He was so well preserved.
Yes, he was the most handsome corpse in Western Kentucky. He didn't look his age. Poor Bobby. He had been dead for 4 years and he was still warm. A veritable living corpse. and how cheerful he was.
Oh, poor Bobby.
Which poor Bobby do you mean?
Well, it's his wife that I mean. She's called Bobby, too. Bobby Watson. And since they have the same name, you could never tell one from the other when you saw them together. It was only after his death that you could really tell which was which, and there are still people today who confuse her for the deceased and offer their condolences to him. Do you know her?
I only met her once by chance at Bobby's burial.
Oh, I've never seen her. Is she pretty?
She has regular features, yet one cannot say she is pretty. She is too big and too stout. Her features are not regular, yet one can say she is very pretty. She is too small and too thin. She's a voice teacher.
And when do they plan to be married, those two?
Next spring at the latest.
Oh, we shall have to go to their wedding, I suppose.
We shall have to give them a wedding present. I wonder what.
Why don't we give them one of the 7 silver salvers that were given to us on our wedding and have never been of any use to us? How sad for her to be left a widow so young.
Fortunately, they had no children.
Oh, that was all they needed. Children! My God, the poor woman. How could she have managed?
She is still young. She may very well remarry. She looks so well in mourning.
But who will take care of the children? You know very well they have a boy and a girl. What are their names?
Bobby and Bobby, just like their parents. Bobby Watson's uncle, old Bobby Watson, is a rich man and very fond of the boy. He might very well pay for Bobby's education.
That would be proper. And Bobby Watson's aunt, old Bobby Watson, might very well, in her turn, pay for the education of Bobby Watson, Bobby Watson's daughter. That way Bobby, Bobby Watson's mother, could remarry. Has she anyone in mind?
Yes, a cousin of Bobby Watson's.
Who, Bobby Watson?
Which Bobby Watson do you mean?
Why, Bobby Watson, the son of old Bobby Watson, the late Bobby Watson's other uncle.
No, it's not that one. It's someone else. It's Bobby Watson, the son of old Bobby Watson, the late Bobby Watson's aunt.
Are you referring to Bobby Watson, the commercial traveler?
All Bobby Watsons are commercial travelers.
Oh, what a difficult trade. And yet they do well at it.
Yes, when there's no competition.
And when is there no competition?
On Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Tuesdays, unless it's a holiday.
3 days a week. And what does Bobby do on those days?
He rests. He sleeps.
But why doesn't he work those 3 days if there's no competition?
I don't know everything. I can't answer all your idiotic questions.
Oh, a scene from The Bald Soprano being put on by Twilight Theater at Kinlake State Resort Park. The shows are at 7:30 p.m. Tonight, Saturday, and next Friday and Saturday. Let me ask you something. After your audience sit through this play, do they start talking like that? Have you noticed the cadence?
I think the biggest question for our audience is every single one of our audience members, every single show has had is, how did you remember all of that? And I think once you really establish your backstory and have a reason for saying what you're saying, the memorization really comes. It really wasn't as hard as people think it is. I normally tell people that Shirley picked us up from the local loony bin and had us do the show. But no, once we really established our characters and our backstories, the memorization really started to come because it was easier to understand ourselves.
And what do you notice while you're playing about your audiences?
Did they understand that?
They'll like start to laugh, and then like, wait, is that funny? I don't know. Someone else laughing. It's almost they're a little bewildered, and there's moments that for my character in the show that I do look out into the audience, and that's one of the prize moments for me is to see their eyes kind of just in awe, and they don't really know what's happening, but they're all smiling and kind of nodding their heads, and okay, this is great, I don't know what's happening, but it's hilarious. So.
We actually had a man come in last week whenever we would make references to Paducah or something like there's a line that Taylor says that we don't find Romanian yogurt in Paducah, and this man in the audience literally said, well, that's right, you don't. And we could hear it on stage, and it's just stuff like that that really makes the show worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Another question. I know. Do people get jumpy with all the clocks going off? Do you notice that? I wonder.
I don't know if they get jumpy so much as, like, for instance, one time when the clock strikes, 19 times, they're like, oh, clock is striking. Wow. Okay, do I laugh? Funny, I don't know, because it continues to strike. Or are they waiting on something? Is this a miscue? Mm-hmm. But it's just the clock striking. It's kind of interesting to see how that affects your audience when it's just a sound cue.
Yeah, because when the clock strikes, because it is its own character, it gets attention. Anyone who is on stage immediately stops what they're doing and pays attention to the clock. So I think it does catch the audience off guard, not in the sense that the sound alarms them or anything like that, but that for a minute, maybe 60 whole seconds, maybe a little longer, no one is moving, no one is doing anything. We are just sitting and listening to a clock. And people do get confused, but they think it's funny too because it's absurd. It's just absurd.
And therein lies the point. Mm-hmm. Now, you all are headed towards professional stage careers. What does it mean to you to be in the bald soprano at Ken Lake State Resort Park with Shirley T. Johnson and Twilight Theater Productions?
For me, anyway, it's a really big opportunity because we have Shirley Johnson that's been in this community, you know, advocate for the theater for so many years, and her husband, an advocate for Murray State University for so many years. And then we have Charles, who, especially for me and EB, where we want to enter the musical theater world at some point in New York, having that connection and having someone as neat as Charles come in and teach us, because he knows, he's worked it, he knows what people want, and he's very successful at it, and he makes millions of people happy around the world. So I know, at least for us, and I'm sure for Taylor and Kirsten, you know, entering the straight acting world, they want to have that same effect on their audiences, you know, to work with everybody from around the world and have that same impact on people as Charles does. So it's great to have a connection like that.
Mm-hmm. It's also really great because the play is, that's a huge play. Like, when I found out what play they were doing and looked it up, it's everywhere. Like, it's huge in France and a lot of other European countries, and it's done all over the country. And to be able to be a production of something that's been going on for so many years and has so many people that have seen it is just incredible.
Now, you all were chosen in auditions. Mm-hmm. How many people were at those auditions?
I believe from Western there was, I would say most of our department auditions, so wow. Something along the lines of,
say like 70?
Like 70 people or probably. So from Western.
Yeah.
That kind of just trickled in throughout the day for that audition. Yeah.
Considerably less at Murray. There were two of us that auditioned, but I don't think people maybe took it as seriously as they should have. But I mean, I know that, going backtracking a little bit, I'm sorry. I know that this experience has meant so much to me, not only because of the show itself, but it's a new style that I haven't done before. I get to be in a new place. I mean, I go to school in Murray, so I'm kind of near here, but I'm getting to work with new people. I mean, I don't go to school with these three. I probably never would have worked with him had I not been given this opportunity by Shirley and Charles. And I know that I'm very thankful for it because it is my first professional experience. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life, and I always want to be meeting new people and learning from new people, and that's something that I'm so thankful that I've gotten to do. It's really, really important to me.
We also have two other members, Casey Williams and Dylan Davis from UT Martin. So they even went to Tennessee and auditioned people. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of coming from all over the state and the just general area.
Really great experience. Okay. We'll wind up by letting our audience know again that you can call 270-436-2399 for reservations. Doors open at 7:30. The show begins at 8. Overnight accommodations are available. Again, this is The Bald Soprano at Ken Lake State Resort Park, and you've only got two more weekends, one more after this one, to see it. Thank you again to Kirsten Kellersberger, Taylor Davis, E.B. McKinney, and Lane French for being with us today.
Thank you.
This is WKMS. Our channels and web service are part of the educational mission of Murray State.